But okay. I do have to find a different pen. Really dissatisfied with this one.
Oh, yeah, I don't like that pen.
How's our budget change?
Okay, so we'll come back into order for the admin portion of the commission meeting. We have a couple of items on consent. I move passage of those.
Second.
I do want to just mention here, I talked to Patrick about this, and we'll be all the items on the consent are outside legal assistance for some siting applications, and that's been our process, and I think we will continue on that, but we also want to put Jack to work on some of these siting applications to get more familiar with the work of the PSC and to really get a, you know, broad understanding of what we do and get experience in all the various areas. I think it's a key part of his training here. And so we have a number of, these are some big projects, and my understanding is Jack will sort of witness these, and then there's some more coming up just in the, probably the next meeting that we'll be assigning, and hopefully Jack will get assigned to a couple of those to handle on his own. There's no better way to learn than just having to jump right in and do it yourself. So that's sort of the plan for those.
Okay, we have a motion and second. Is there any further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
All right, I'll ask my colleagues, do you want to go to scheduling or discussion matters next?
Go through the discussion and staff, okay. Can it's not involved in just scheduling.
Can be a lot. All right, we'll take up the discussion matters. Number one, disposition of renewable energy credits. Mike Diller.
Commissioners, before I start, I'd just like to say that as I look around the staff table here, I feel like the grandpa that and I like it. I sent a memo around to the commissioners, the companies, staff. I think I copied Alana in as well. I was meeting with Otter Tail a week or so ago, I think it was, Vic, and they were asking what they should do with RECs. In 2015 now, that's when the 10% renewable energy objective is kicking in. And so they're wondering, should we retire the RECs or shouldn't we? After sending this memo, I heard from MDU that they're planning not to retire any RECs, to keep those until the market either improves or perhaps to satisfy EPA's rule. We don't know what the final rule will be.
Mike, when do RECs, do they expire?
Not in North Dakota. In a lot of states, renewable energy credits expire after 3 or 4 years, but not in North Dakota. They do not.
Okay, so there's nothing that, so they don't, okay.
There's no federal.
How do you retire them? What's involved with retiring a renewable energy credit?
MRETs would just simply take them off the books.
And why would anybody want to? Do they cost money to carry around?
Why would they
want
to retire them?
Yeah.
Well, you have to retire RECs in order to tell the state of North Dakota, to tell the commission in their annual reports that, yes, we in fact met the renewable energy objective.
I see.
And so in the case of MDU, they're going to report that zero. They might have a footnote, I would expect, in there that they in fact did generate so many megawatt hours of renewable energy, and they might have an explanation in their report as to why they're choosing to go this way. My purpose is today is that what I'm hearing from Xcel Energy and Otter Tail Power Company is that they'll likely retire renewable energy credits up to the 10% objective level, and so if the commission does nothing, that's what will occur. If the commission decides this is important enough to have a hearing and discuss the various things that I've laid out here in my memo and give direction, they would like, at least in the case of Otter Tail, I believe they'd like direction from the commission.
Didn't we, refresh my memory, Mike, we did a hearing on this, 4 or 5 years ago, and it was because Basin asked us to do it. And then we ended up saying, if you want to do it, as long as it benefits North Dakota customers, not so much per basin, but didn't we have this discussion? I mean, I know we had it, but I can't remember if it was a hearing or if it was just informal discussion.
Yeah, I think we've had lots of discussions over the years. I don't recall a formal discussion about retiring RECs. That doesn't mean it didn't occur. I'm a grandpa. You know, so.
Well, I remember the discussion, though, of we had Basin wanted some direction from us, even though we don't regulate them. And then we kind of came to a point where the companies chose, if they did do it, we want to make sure that any value of those went back to offset into customer stuff. Thanks, Chair.
And that's kind of the point of this whole discussion is if you retire RECs, to meet an objective, there is no value for ratepayers. Those just come off the books. And so right now, the REC market, I think Vic and I heard from Otter Tail, it's like $1 a megawatt hour. If I recall correctly, Xcel Energy's had some opportunities to sell RECs down in the southeast part of the country for I'm going to say $20 a megawatt hour. That could be wrong. Let's just say it this way, for a substantial amount of money, and that was passed through to ratepayers in the fuel clause adjustment. So that's really the point of this whole discussion is, do we want them to retire them so they can say they met the objective, or would we rather have them sell all the RECs and then credit customers' bills with that, and if we want them to sell, would we want them to wait until the market became better than it is right now?
Does Minnesota or any of the other neighboring states with standards rather than objectives require them to retire the RECs to
absolutely
show that? And so I suppose the thought behind retiring them in North Dakota is just to maintain a consistent set of books. Barring us having told them to do it differently, it would be kind of hard in their books to show that they retire them in one state and just sell them for money.
They'll be retiring different levels anyway, so I don't know if it's a book issue so much as if the North Dakota legislature thought it was important enough to pass a law that set forth a 10% renewable energy objective, should we do that or not?
Is that the only way to show that you've met it? I mean, I understand that that's what other states require, but was that spelled out in state law, that that's how you would prove it?
The MRETS board was set as a guide, as a board nationally that we participated in when we had more people around, that kind of laid a lot of these questions out. But I guess my gut is that we need to have at least an informal on this, because with the EPA regs coming, the whole discussion on what the value of an MRET is, I don't think it'd be – I like MDU's idea of holding tight for a while. But that back to your question, I think, is it's very unclear what these things are worth different places.
Or what the legislature was expecting companies would do to prove that they met this objective and all that. So I agree we should either have an informal or formal on it to discuss it in more detail with the companies so they have clear direction and don't do something that has unintended consequences like retiring a bunch of RECs to meet North Dakota's mandate when the EPA could come down and they might wish that they had those RECs to use for that.
All right. Well, we'll go informal or formal. I would think informal would be kind of nice because then the parties could maybe, it's a little easier to debate back and forth about different positions. And
sure.
Is informal,
I'm fine with
right?
Informal.
Mm-hmm. And then I'm thinking that I don't need – staff may not take a position at all in this, so we might – approach this more like siting, listen to the parties and the strategies, but mm-hmm. You may want more than that from me.
I think it would be helpful to frame what the discussion is going to be for the informal.
Yep.
And then somehow communicate that to all the companies, and everyone would be here at the same time then, but that's always a little bit confusing for companies when everyone comes and how's the format and all that. So are you the person that there's no reason why you can't be the person to figure that out, right?
Right. I think I'm halfway there already.
Yeah.
So. Could you invite Basin and Minn Kota too?
Sure.
Because they were. I remember that was the driver before. His Basin was trying to figure it out on him. MD, you're sitting here. Did you guys sell them back at one point for customer credit? Do you remember that? Okay. And then just throw this out there, too, for our two attorneys that are here. Alana used to sit on the MRETS board, and she gave that seat up just because she was gone all the time. But maybe there's some value. I don't let you two sort it out with Alana, but when are you researching what the MRETS board's updated positions and all this stuff is? She'd be able to give you the point of contact, and they meet quarterly or something, and just finding out what, from their viewpoint, what where this is going. Does that sound reasonable?
Yeah, and probably Jack, since that's a PUD kind of specific thing, maybe you can dive into that.
Fair enough. Yeah, that makes sense right on.
I do have another question, though, for Mike. Historically, when we do things like this in an informal setting with a wide variety of companies like this, does everybody get really a fair shake, or is this something that's so big we should be meeting with all of the companies individually? You know, there's some pretty strong characters in some departments of some of the companies. And, you know, if we're going to have an hour or two hearing and one or two people come in and dominate it, I could see where the solution to this, the best solution for a particular company, might be a lot different between a primarily North Dakota company as opposed to a primarily Minnesota company, or an IOU versus an REC.
That's a good question, and it seems like maybe you're arguing for a more formal hearing.
I'm not really arguing for anything, okay, except for to make sure that we figure out. I'm just not so sure that an informal hearing with all five is for sure a fair setting, and I don't know. I'm looking for your background in doing
well,
this for years.
Well, I mean, we would the hearing would be structured so that all the parties would have an opportunity to make their case, and I don't think the commission would necessarily be hemmed into making a recommendation that is the same across the board if there's something that warrants that. Without having the discussion, I don't know if I could say what the answer would be.
I think Randy's just saying make sure everybody gets the same amount of time or has an opportunity to do that so one company isn't allowed to dominate. And you can do that by saying everyone gets 15 minutes to make their case, and then we'll open up for questions at the end or any number of ways. But I think that that's what I heard you say.
Well, yeah, or another thought that just as we're visiting here has occurred to me, maybe we need to talk with all these players and get a little feedback from them. How much time would you need? Would you rather turn in statements in advance so that we can have looked through your comments and ask you questions about your comments, and then everyone will have had the same opportunity early? Or I don't know, maybe we need some feedback from them how to make it.
Yeah, I don't like the idea personally of meeting with all of them separately, just because, A, I think it would be hard to schedule, and B, I think it's helpful to have all of them in the same, and I think they'd probably want to hear what the other ones were saying anyway. When we've tried to do that in the past, they've on other stuff, they've kind of wanted to hear what the other companies have to say, and so I think there's better dialogue when everyone's together personally.
Maybe we could split the difference, though. I know I just said Basin and Minn Kota, but let's focus on the investor owns for the discussion that we actually can do something with. Because can we prohibit them from selling the RECs? Do we have that authority? Like if we have this informal and we say XL wants to sell, and we say nope, can we then put an order together that says they can't sell, or is that a internal? Because that's a key question. And I mean, that's a there you go, Jack. I mean, because that's the logical conclusion of we hear this information, and if we differ what the company is, then we would have to do something. If we can't...
I don't know anything about legal authority. I'd have to leave that up to the attorneys. I'd say this, that if the commission feels strong enough and makes a recommendation, they're likely to follow your direction, whether it's formal or informal. But that's okay. That's a question for Alana, I guess.
Well, let's. Do we want to come back next meeting, maybe schedule when this would be, and you can work on the details of the format and get some feedback from the companies, and we can bring it up next meeting on scheduling.
Okay.
Thanks, Mike.
It'll be good knowing that we're just in the meantime that we're going to be dealing with this and looking at providing some guidance.
We just sent a signal that we want more.
Okay. Second Thanks, item Mike. Is the Grand Forks Bean Company update. Sue.
At the end of Friday's commission meeting on the cease and desist, ex parte cease and desist order, Commissioner Kalk had asked to schedule a work session, if staff would go ahead and schedule a work session, and Commissioner Chrisman had asked for an update at the commission meeting. So I added it to the commission meeting so I can provide a update if the commission would like that now or if you'd like to go ahead and schedule
a work
session.
I don't need a work session, just 5 minutes, so just a little more detail than we had on Friday, and any changes is all I was thinking. So I don't need a work session. This is perfect.
Okay. All right.
For me, anyway.
All right. So where we are today is we are wrapping up our stipulation. And the bank, as I had mentioned previously, is claiming a lien to the beans. And, again, we've had discussions with the attorneys that are representing the producers, and we are quite confident that this matter will not be resolved in an informal setting and that it will need a formal insolvency in order for it to be resolved. We are working on the application for appointment as trustee documents, started drafting them. Tim was up in Grand Forks yesterday and attended a meeting with the bank, the producers, and potential buyers of the beans, and he took samples, and he has actually spent yesterday afternoon, and I talked to him this morning. He's traveling around the state, that area of the state, taking the samples of the beans to the various elevators so that we can get hopefully a wide variety of bids on these beans, which should realize the best price. We are hoping to wrap up that stipulation quickly here, and the stipulation is necessary since the commission cannot sell the beans until it has been appointed trustee without the stipulation. The weather is nice. We'd like to get those beans, as long as we have the nice weather, take advantage of it and get those beans marketed as quickly as possible and hopefully before the weather turns bad again.
So what's the stipulation, Sue, that you've referenced?
The stipulation is basically an agreement between the three parties as to how those beans will be liquidated, what we will do with the trust, with the proceeds, which are not trust proceeds at this time. They would just be deposited into an account at the Bank of North Dakota is what we have incorporated into that stipulation.
And then how does it deal with the lien that the bank is claiming?
Well, that will be something that will be resolved when we are in our insolvency process.
Okay. So that's not part of the stipulation agreement?
No, that will not be addressed in the stipulation. The bank is asserting a lien, and the growers are asserting the lien. And the growers are asserting the lien based on Century Code, which says that the grain contained in a warehouse, including the inventory owned by a warehouse, is an asset to the farmers who have a priority lien without actually filing a lien. And over in our insolvency statute, it says that any grain contained in an asset is to become an asset of the trust fund.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the basis for...
The stipulation that you're working on, does the bank authorize us to go ahead and market those beans, though?
It would be a joint effort. Right now, the bank has the keys to the warehouse. We were told that the elevators turn the keys over to the bank. The bank asserts that it's theirs, and we want the stipulation so that we have authority before we're appointed trustee to work with the bank to get those beans marketed.
Do you know if the bank's got other liens out there that they're going to use those beans to cover the bank debts?
I guess I don't really know what
they
all
get the first bite at the apple. That's the problem with the way the law is written, in my mind. Just something to keep an eye on, because if there's other liens that the bank has on other stuff, whatever we think, whatever the value of the beans is, it'll go to pay off the bank stuff first. And it just,
isn't that, I thought in insolvencies, that was one of the main points of putting us as trustee, that then the growers get the assets of the beans first, not the banks.
And that's what the growers are asserting. And in insolvency, that is correct. Historically, the commission has had those beans, they become an asset of the trust, and the commission has liquidated them, but we don't have the authority to liquidate them until we are appointed trustee, which is the purpose for the stipulation.
We need to move that quick.
Yes.
That's my point.
Yes. Yeah,
and the bank files it now, and we could, anyway, you get my point.
My additional concern, besides the bank, has been we're dealing with some producers that we're aware of, but ultimately down the road, if this follows along as I'm envisioning it, that we would be, that a judge would declare this an insolvency and appoint us as the trustee, before everything would be settled, there would be a legal notice issued, which would be what would cover us, that any producers out there that they claim would have had a chance to say something. And, you know, maybe we do know about all the producers, but maybe we don't. And I'm really concerned about operating under this stipulation, because some producers have agreed to it when others may not have. And so my question is, how many, and then give me if you're talking a long time frame or the last 4 or 5 years or what, but how often have we marketed grain proceeds when we only had a stipulation but had not yet been declared the trustee?
We have not entered into a stipulation before in prior cases. The beans just sit, or the grain just would remain in the elevator. Or if the grain in an elevator is sold, the what a trust is made up is goes on to say that any accounts receivable for any grain sold from the time of filing of a claim that precipitated an insolvency, those assets, those receivables also belong to the trust. But this is the first time we have worked on a stipulation. I have been involved and been at the commission when we have had informal insolvencies where we've actually seen where the commission has worked with, in one case, the bonding company to liquidate all the inventory that there was and to make the claimants to make payment to the claimants before we ever got to an informal insolvency. And I've been here through the time where we, the bank actually liquidated all of the proceeds, issued checks to each one of those growers, sent those checks to the commission, and the commission forwarded the checks to the farmers because we wanted to keep tabs on who was owed money and to verify that the farmers were being paid for the beans. And in both of those cases, I don't recall that there was a stipulation in either case.
So we did those things before we were trustee in those other cases?
They actually were resolved, and we called it an informal insolvency proceeding. We never got to the point of a formal insolvency.
Those were different times, though, Sue.
Right.
The value of those commodities wasn't nearly what it is now.
So what do we do in this case if we market these and then it turns out that a new claimant arises and protests what we've done?
Well, if we market the beans, the money will go into an account at the Bank of North Dakota is what we're anticipating. That's what we are putting into the stipulation. They will sit there until a court makes a decision regarding the proceeds, and any farmer that has a claim today or that has a claim at any later point of time would have an equal share in those proceeds.
But maybe I'm just the only one with a block here, so forgive me if that's the case. But why is it important that we get a stipulation from these 8 producers, or whatever the number is? Mm-hmm. We need a stipulation from them in order to do what you're suggesting, but we don't need a stipulation from a different producer that might be out there that we don't know about?
Well, the commission has the same fiduciary responsibility, whether we know about them or whether we don't. We could stop on the stipulation, and the bank could just go ahead and try and liquidate the beans on their own, I guess, and could deposit the money in their own bank account, and then we could go after the money that way. This is what we believe is the best way for those beans to get marketed and for that money to be put in a neutral location. We're suggesting, and the stipulation provides that it will go into an account at Bank of North Dakota, not a trust fund, and at some point they would then have to be moved. I would envision they'd have to be moved from that bank account to an actual trust fund that is established, the statute provides.
So the stipulation is basically not to get everybody's buy-off on how the beans are going to be marketed, but to make sure that we're the ones marketing them, not the bank?
To do it jointly.
Jointly.
Otherwise, because
the commission doesn't go ahead and do this.
Because the commission doesn't have authority outside of being appointed trustee to market those beans.
Once we have a cease and desist, can the bank go ahead and do that? I mean, what was the point of the cease and desist? I thought that kind of protected those assets and put them on hold until there's a ruling on the cease and desist.
Well, there is a cease and desist. And the bank shouldn't be doing anything with them. They've kind of been
My understanding is that the stipulation's point is to just get these sold as quickly as possible. And so that's in addition to the cease and desist. So that's really the main focus, is to kind of have a joint party effort.
So get them sold as soon as possible, not wait for the judge to officially make us the
exactly
trustee.
Exactly.
What if we did it without the stipulation?
Well, without the stipulation, we don't have authority, the statutory authority, to market those beans until we're appointed trustee. They can sit in the warehouse, but the longer they sit in the warehouse, I mean, there's a potential for them to go bad.
But these producers can give us that authority?
It's the bank. It's an agreement with the bank, it sounds like.
It's an agreement with the bank, yes. Everybody, because
a legal agreement.
Everybody is a party.
So the stipulation basically asserts the claims of the growers. It asserts the claims of the bank, and then it asserts the claims of the commission. And then it literally is just an agreement for the marketing and sale, including transportation of them. So that's basically everything that the stipulation does. And then it discusses, like Sue just mentioned, where those funds would be allocated to, and that's the Bank of North Dakota.
And I think one thing that just hasn't been discussed here but is important is the fact that it's beans, and is there anybody even working at this place anymore? It's touchy to store them long term, and we can't transport them if it's too cold. Right. And so I think that's really the urgency, that they should be moved in a timely way. We don't have months and months like we would maybe if it was nice, dry, hard red spring beans or something.
That's why the growers in this instance have also offered their services in transporting them too. It's just to expedite that process.
All right. So
my final thing on this is, I think the priority for us is getting our paperwork done in order to move this into the court system so that that happens as quickly as possible.
And we are working on that.
Then whenever we're not working on that, we could work on the stipulation, but I think our priority has to be following our traditional legal.
The stipulation, too, is I believe it's going to be sent out today, as soon as Alana gets back in the office. There weren't very many edits left on that well. So just to give you a time frame.
If I had my choice, I'd rather have the paperwork to make the filing to be declared the trustee today and do the stipulation
And
tomorrow.
I think that separate parties are working on that. So from my aspect, I've been working on the stipulation, and then Sue has been working on the other paperwork. So it's been being done in conjunction. So they're both.
Okay. All right. Anything else on that? All right. Thank you, Sue. And Casey as well. Okay. You have a couple items?
I do, but I defer to the chairman.
Okay. I have a few items here. One of them was just a brief discussion on the pipeline. The National Pipeline Safety Conference is going to be held here.
Here's what I know. Central Region National Association of Pipeline Safety Representatives get together and they meet every June somewhere and they talk about a variety of things. So they'll go through the minutes in their previous meeting. There's different task force on gathering line discussion, damage prevention plans. They have, you know, their agenda they always mm-hmm. talk about. So we're hosting the meeting, if you will. There's different PHMSA reps coming to talk about their project. Zach Barrett's going to come and talk about state programs, things that they're working on inside this group. And I can forward the draft to everybody. Leonard Steinert's going to be out here. But basically, it's
the agenda's all set, and they have all their speakers and everything lined up already.
Not quite.
And I guess my concern is we're short-staffed, and how much time is Aaron going to be spending working on this?
This is the same discussion I had with Patrick about this. When Aaron got boxed into this, he should have deferred to Pat or I and then had us call them and say, yo, we can't do this because we're down to one guy, but he didn't. And so by the time Aaron let Pat and I know, the horse was out of the barn. So I will help Aaron do this. And
can Aaron push some backup to them and say, you know, we're limited, we can't? Because I can see this sucking up a ton of time.
Well, we can certainly try anything. I think that ship sailed, but that's because that was the same thought I had. And I think it's really, if we get the location for them, they've got the agenda down. We don't have much to do other than just set it all up.
Okay.
As far as
when is it?
June 22nd to the 26th. But no, Julie, we can ask.
And well, Aaron has asked me to help with promotional materials.
But okay. See, that's where Aaron is. We got to have slow.
Just to let you know.
No, thank you, Stacey, because I got visibility in this about 2 weeks ago and just until now got a chance to talk about it. But Pat and I are going to get him in here and corral him a little bit because that's to your point that everybody's got all kinds of stuff going on. We don't want this to become a all-inclusive PSC doing this. But we can ask Julie about it. I can call Zach up and say, hey, listen, but what month is it now?
Well, I think
January?
Just Aaron. It needs to be made clear to Aaron that his priority is his work here, not a conference for people from out of state. And so he needs to limit his time that he's going to be spending on this, however he can. Be it from asking Stacy, that's good, you know, on certain things, or asking the leaders from PHMSA and the regional office or wherever it is. But, you know, I know how conferences, our time sucks. They take a lot of time to plan, and he's one guy doing the work of two right now, and we need him focused on that as his main priority. So
no disagreements here. It's one of those things that staff's taken initiative, but they should have checked with Pat, and Pat would have told them the same thing because the same discussion we had, Pat and I had, and he agreed.
Right.
But I think we will do that. Maybe I'll call up Leonard and just see if that's a potential of having somebody else pick it up. And if not, we'll keep a very close eye on his time as well as others.
Mm-hmm.
And it is an opportunity to get them here, though, to have them.
And it's probably a really good agenda that, you know, important discussions and stuff. So I don't want to dismiss that. But
yeah, agreed. Yeah, absolutely, sure. Patrick.
Before we contact Leonard Steiner, we should contact Aaron to see the resources that are available to him through the Central Region organization, and he can enlighten us on that, and then we can work from there and see how it goes.
Because he's already been in contact with the Secretary of Central Region, has helped him out a lot. So
maybe he just needs to report to you weekly, Pat, on how much time he's spending on it.
Okay.
Or something of that nature. So he knows that, you know, just as little as possible of his time should be spent on this, and he should get other resources helping if he can.
And to add to the concern, when you said the 22nd to the 26th, I was thinking, well, you know, so maybe the 22nd is maybe a Wednesday and people come in that evening and then they're counting through Sunday or something when they go home. No, that's Monday through Friday.
Right. Agreed.
Okay. All right. I think we've talked about that enough. Pat, it's clear on what our concerns are, and we'll share them with Aaron. Okay. The next one I wanted to discuss, you reminded me, Brian, is just the tweaking of the pipeline siting portfolio to be the processing and pipeline siting portfolio.
I came up with pipeline and processing facility siting portfolio.
Pipeline and processing facility siting. Perfect.
Because that way we clarify.
Yep. Yeah.
You can't say it three times real fast.
Pipeline and processing. Ooh. No, pipeline and processing. So, Daryl, yeah, it would work if you could.
Peter Piper picked
it. I'll get that on.
All right. Then my last one was to discuss. I've heard a couple of different places now from Ron Ness, and I've heard from the governor's office that they picked it up in a conversation that this floating around, the suggestion that this company that has this cool whiz-bang helicopter technology.
The aerial pipeline inspections.
Could be used to displace one of our pipeline inspectors on the hazardous crude pipeline.
They are incorrect.
Proposal. Okay, well, that's why I wanted to bring it up, because that's what I said, that, you know, we have very strict PHMSA guidelines on what those inspectors need to do, and I couldn't even begin to tell you if this helicopter could meet those inspections or not, but we don't know enough about that right now to say to the legislature, yeah, get rid of one of those. We can substitute the helicopter.
I met with them last week, and they gave me the full presentation, and they're available to come up to see us. I have it down for scheduling notes. They gave me four dates, but three of them we've already got hearings planned. Mm-hmm. But they're available February 2nd, if we are, to come give us the full presentation. But my discussion with them, I told them I thought it was something that we could certainly add, but it wouldn't displace anything that we do. And I thought it might be very helpful for more of gathering lines, since there's very limited. And maybe it could be set to displace one of the asks we're going to have, just as far as a overarching ability to detect leaks. But what I picked up is their technology is untested in the U.S. It's limited to surface visual. It doesn't do – you can't check under the ground. It seemed pretty good, but it's not verified in the U.S. So, but we can get them to come in to see us. If February 2nd doesn't work, we can pick a date that works for us, and they'll come in.
Okay.
If that's okay.
Yeah, I think it's great to have this new technology, and clearly it has some function here, either, you know, on the monitoring or in the construction process. This and UAVs and, you know, that whole aerial surveillance technology. But I get concerned when I hear the industry suggesting that this to legislators should displace one of our requests,
right,
without us even really knowing what it is they're suggesting it can do, and we don't even know what it can do yet exactly.
Well, when I talked with them, there's the capability discussion, just what you said, what it can do, and then I got into the details of let's do the what-if game. You're flying somewhere and you see something on the ground that looks like oil. Then what do? There has to be a whole hierarchy of whose pipeline is it? Is it a gathering line? Is it a transmission line? Is it PHMSA jurisdiction? I mean, there's a whole bunch. Even if the stuff does work, how do they relay that to the people that actually respond to it?
Well, we may want to decide, I mean, maybe not, but we may want to decide in short order if you want to use one of those positions and ask instead for $100,000 to test this or not. But that sounds like what is being discussed, and I would like us to be involved in that discussion.
No, absolutely. Well, and I don't know where the industrial – here's what I know. The Industrial Commission gave this company a grant of like $200,000. They've got to find matching funds to get them to $500,000. So they're out now trying to partner with industry and somebody that helped make up that delta. Yeah. And once they get that money, then they can buy the equipment. So they don't even have the equipment now. So it's a long ways. They're trying to piece together the money. But, yeah, if we would say one position and – put $100,000 in our budget to put towards this, but they still don't have any industry buy-in.
Yeah, it feels premature to me to make that commitment. But, you know, then again, will we have time after that February 2nd to make that kind of a change? Or maybe when it goes to the House, you could do that type of thing?
Well, you know, we can make those maneuvers really throughout the session until everything is finalized. But I do think that the first step, we need to get them in and get a more formal presentation of what they think they can ultimately do and what they know for sure they can do.
Mm-hmm. All right, so that's
on your schedule. And it would certainly be good to have Pat and, you know, maybe have thought this through. If there's doubts in your mind, have looked into resources. But, I mean, we should be able to have good questions or comparisons of when they're offering things, their ideas of what it is they feel they can do to be able to keep us tabbed as we go as to whether that offsets something in our program or if that has nothing to do with our program.
Maybe would it be possible to have PHMSA, somebody from PHMSA that's real, an expert on the CRUD program or the hazardous materials program, call in and listen to that presentation?
We certainly can do that.
Because I'm not sure that we, you know, have the expertise even yet, since we haven't worked with that program a lot, to know. Mm-hmm. Maybe do, Pat. Mm-hmm.
Well, and I was thinking, too, that it's from the limited amount of, that I know about the flyover program, it seems to me it would displace, be a better chance it would displace our construction inspection contracts versus our safety inspections and audits.
That's what I was thinking.
Because we don't have people, for example, out walking the ground in our gas pipeline safety. We don't have people out walking the ground looking for leaks, mm-hmm. if that's what this does. But our construction inspection, we could potentially use it during construction inspection, and that would offset our contracts for construction inspection.
That's a good idea. So we should, you know, from that standpoint, then those are siting dollars from the fees.
Yes.
And so I'm not sure how you could piece those together to meet this match somehow, or if we could commit to spending $100,000 in the biennium based on X number of projects. But, well, we'll have the meeting first and go from there. Because I do feel like, you know, this is great, but the UAVs also should be tested on the siting construction inspections.
And the other part of the project would be the data. You know, the data comes in. Who reviews the data?
I asked them about that. I said, is it real-time data? And it's just what you said. They collect the data. The guy looking at it does his or her review of it, but then the whole data piece, they haven't thought through that.
Yeah,
it's some good guys that have a good idea, but there's all kinds of holes in it, but there's a heck of potential here.
And so somebody has to pay for that review,
yep.
You know, and so, or there has to be some manpower involved in that too.
What I gleaned out of it was that if we could, as quick as we can narrow the scope, this is just for hazardous liquids. It would not be a benefit to the natural gas stuff. So we still need our, no matter what, we got to keep pushing on the 1.5 mm-hmm. positions for the gas. The only thing this is for the our role, the liquids program.
Or potentially this construct, which I thought would might
but that would still be liquids because we don't site gas.
Right. Okay.
We have a few.
Intrastate
that are not involved in interstate commerce.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we'll have that presentation with them and we'll go from there. Okay. That concludes some items I had added to discussion.
You hit two of mine. I just had one. I don't know when you want to deal with it. The Ashley Wind hearing. You want to say that
right.
To the very end? After we
no, why don't we go ahead and talk about that now.
I have a note that came from Jerry Lean. He said that they're leaning towards rescheduling, but he's going to call back to confirm, but maybe you should look at a date in mid-March.
What's wrong with tomorrow?
Problem we've got is that the airline executive air call and Ashley, they don't have a lot of capability down there. They got 8 inches of snow. They can't get the snow removed in time to get the airport open in time we're supposed to land. So they called executive air and told them that. And then they called Kathy, who told drop this email in.
Commissioner, it's not just the snow. They also have about 2 inches of ice underneath the snow. That is more their concern than it is the snow. The snow can be removed. The problem with executive air is that, the Ashley Airport, it's a short a runway, and, without, mm-hmm. know, excellent conditions, they would not take the risk of trying to land at that
time. And so why is driving not an option?
I think that,
I guess at this point we've already rescheduled this thing. I'd kind of like to get it done.
I'll throw my 2 cents in it that if it's so much ice in the ground they can't get the runway, I don't know that driving is a good idea either. If we do choose to drive, we should try to delay the hearing till later in the day to get I mean, if it starts at 10, the roads are crappy, you're leaving here at, you can't leave at 8. It's always a two something to Ashley. So you leave at 7 or 6. You don't want to be late if you drive, and then you have that risk involved.
It's, yeah, you know, it depends on what the problem is there, and I'd be curious to look at a road report or something. If it's a matter that the Ashley Airport doesn't have any snow removal equipment, so there's some snow sitting there and it takes a week for it to melt off, that's not the case with highways.
Right.
I'm sure the highways have been cleared off and probably melted off by now. But it's been a long time since I was to Ashley. I can't remember how long it takes to drive there.
It's about 160 miles is what it is.
It's two and a half good roads usually.
And what times are hearing?
10.
Let's do this. Who is suggesting they want to move it? The company?
I asked Jerry to call the company, and the first call they came back is they were going to look at it, and then that's the update. So maybe we don't have an informal this afternoon. Maybe we just hold this. See, if the company wants to move it, is okay with moving it to March. That seems to me to be the safest, best alternative. It's their project.
Yeah. I'm curious why, though. If we could drive, why would they want to move it? Why do they care how we get there?
Well, it goes back to the safety. We're just hypothesizing what the road conditions are.
I actually have an Indy Roads app available if anyone's interested. It looks like there's some compacted snow and slush on the various roads upon the route, if anyone's interested in peeking at it.
I like that app. Sometimes dangerous to look at it when you're driving.
Well, that's a dilemma with canceling. I don't know. I'm going by the forecast that I heard yesterday already, so that may have changed some, but I didn't hear anything so bad coming. I'm okay with driving down there.
And I'm okay with driving down there, too, just we can't be late if we're going to drive, and we can't be having to drive fast.
Well, I'm okay with driving, and I'm okay with either, well, I might not be okay with leaving at 7. I'd have to do some finagling, but I'd sure be open to starting at 11 if that makes it savable, or 10:30 or, you know, whatever it might be. I mean, I don't know. It's North Dakota. It's winter. We're going to have some weather. I haven't heard huge blizzard warnings. Let's just get this hearing done. Let's just go and do it. If we have to drive, we have to drive.
The only thing that I talked with Executive Air was the runway and that the ice was so thick on it.
Yeah.
And,
well, so flying is out, it sounds like. If we're doing it, we're driving. It's just so someone needs to check back with the company and find out what it was that why they want to cancel, if they think we want it canceled or postponed, or if they could move ahead. Where are they coming from?
Minneapolis.
Are they flying too into Ashley? Maybe that's the problem.
They probably
I bet
work
they are flying into
Minnesota
Ashley
company.
And driving for them would be
I bet they are
a bit of a challenge. Well, Brian, can you work
Absolutely.
It out with them?
That's okay. Why I said maybe by the end of this or this afternoon, since we don't have an informal, we can get back together and make a determination.
Okay, sounds good.
I think if we do have to postpone it, we should next time set it up, just planning the drive, because this airport seems to be just borderline capable of handling these planes.
And start at noon, so we don't be driving in daylight.
Yeah, let's just plan it that way.
Okay.
Makes sense. Okay, so we will throw out some dates just in case we have those on in March. All right, anything else for discussion matters? Staff have any additional items to talk about? Nope. All right. Okay, then let's go into scheduling. So we have the MDU PI meeting.
Might I? I can't remember what all we have added now to scheduling beyond the 7 that are printed here.
Aerial pipeline inspection.
But can we kind of prioritize? Yeah. You know, it seems to me like a periodic information exchange meeting would be less priority than
something. Yep, that's a good point. I know that's...
I don't have any specific things in mind, but...
Well, these formal hearings, obviously. Let's see. I'd like to get the...
if you want the pipeline, the aerial update is quick. The date they have gave us that worked is February 2nd. That's the only date of the four they gave us that we don't already have a hearing. And if I heard you, that seems like that's a pretty big priority for us to get that presentation.
Yeah, I'm available that morning.
It can be any time that day. They're free all day.
Should we say 10?
Did they say how long they thought they needed to do a good presentation? Is this going to include a demonstration where we're going to take off from the
They offered that up at some point, actually. No, I was down there for almost 2 hours because I had a lot of questions. I mean, I don't think you can do it in an hour.
2 hours sufficient?
I think 2 hours
really?
To do it, yeah.
Oh, gosh. Let's tell them an hour and a half so that they try to... I mean, okay. I know everybody, when they have technology, they're super excited about they could talk for days. But...
I'll get back and tell them 10 to 11, 15, or something like that.
Okay.
And then maybe aerial pipeline update, aerial pipeline inspection.
We better say 9:30 because I have an 11. So.
Okay, 9:30, all right. And I'll get back to them today.
9:30 to 11?
Oh, perfect. February 2nd, okay.
Okay, so that one's done. Let's take the, I would really like to get this work session for Targa Badlands done so we can get that on the agenda by the next commission meeting, if possible. So the next commission meeting is, I believe, the 11th of February. So if we can throw out some dates for that.
Refresh me again, Julie, what is the, have we had a work session on this and there was an issue, or we just haven't had one on this?
We have not had one.
And explain the issues.
There were some,
remind us.
There were some issues with the certification document. They had suggested some changes, and Zach thought that we should have a work session, or recommended we had a work session that the commission.
It's a proceed. Yeah, it's setting precedent for how do we want to change the that what is it? Certification document. Yeah, when we need to, and sometimes we need to. So, are we available? What about?
Shoot, this afternoon is open.
Do
we know when Zach is available?
If I could. The company made us aware late yesterday of a situation with the existing gathering line about which they might be making a filing to describe, and they've requested that we have a work session as soon as possible to work through some of these issues so we could move forward with it. I visited with Zach about his availability, and he is available Friday morning between 8 and 10, if that would work. I do need some time myself to go through the late filed materials.
I'm tied up from 9, and then we have our 10 o'clock legislative meeting. Is he available Friday afternoon now?
Only Friday morning. He also would be available the following Monday. I wouldn't be, but...
8:15 on Friday? Would you guys be available?
Mm-hmm.
Brian?
Make it work.
That's the 26th?
23rd.
On Friday.
So which time did we say?
How long do you think it'll take, Julie?
Lots.
Hour? Let's say 8.
I think, yeah, the certification to order provisions had quite a bit of redlining in it, and if you look at it in advance, you may see that a lot of it is okay.
Okay.
And so you would only have to pick out specific things to talk about, and so it could go a lot quicker that way.
Let's say 8 o'clock, and then can you guys kind of come up with a list of issues that we need to work through, and then we can talk about those ahead of time, so we're kind of primed for pretty focused discussion, yeah. And maybe with Zach to get his thoughts.
Yeah, well.
Okay.
Maybe you can send that red line stuff out and highlight the parts that you think are the most important, too.
I'm sorry, I missed that.
Maybe you can send, you said that there's lots of red line stuff, but a lot of it's not really controversial. Maybe you could highlight somehow the things that you think are the most significant.
Sure. And Julie's the lead person on that.
Oh,
so.
I will.
Okay.
You guys will, I'll be in touch with Julie as she goes through that.
And then okay. If it's okay with you, Madam Chair, that I won't be there right at 8. I got a 7 o'clock that I know goes to 8. So I just start at 8 and I'll get there as quick as I can.
Sounds good. Thanks, Brian. All right. Then we'll just move forward with, let's do the start with North Kildare Loop and just start working down. You've got dates.
I do. We don't have a whole lot for some of these. They're lining everyone up was tough, but for this one, we have the 17th, 18th, or 19th of March.
Victor, weren't you going to have some general discussion with us if
yeah,
you wanted to try to rack and stack these? And
I forgot on the discussion. So we have a whole lot of hearings, at least for the items that I have here, coming up in Watford City. And it seemed prudent to at least entertain a discussion about, you know, maybe we should consider, you know, doing something back-to-back or, mm-hmm. you know, something to that effect. I mean, these are all different enough to not consolidate any hearings, but, you know, maybe it's worth considering, you know, if we do a two-day session or something to that effect. Just wanted to kind of put it out there if anyone's interested in something along those lines.
Because I had mixed emotions.
I have mixed, too. I like it from consolidating travel. 2 days would never work during the session because we couldn't plan to be gone, I don't think, for two straight days. But the lonesome, you know, looking at the Lonesome Creek Station and the gas plant could probably be a morning and an afternoon. But what do you do if you've got public testimony that goes over the time allotted?
Right, and that's the concern. I mean, we looking at a one-day situation is just almost impossible just for that very fact. And a two-day, I guess I hadn't thought of the legislature portion of it. I mean, it's just probably not doable right now, but maybe it's something we can try.
Yeah, we looked at doing that on a couple of the Meadowlark lines, trying to do one day, but that was two locations, and that was too hard to facilitate with the sound folks. What are your...
No, I thought exactly what you said. My gut was like it'd be a great idea, but we probably got to do each one each day, but I wanted to see what you guys' thoughts on that.
Randy?
And as I've looked at the schedule, at least for these three, there, I think we're different enough on each of them that it's not going to be like we're going to be there, be in Watford 2 or 3 days in 1 week. It's going to be at least a week separation, if not more.
Well, if they don't just fit back to back anyways, then it's not going to work. I was thinking that there's got to be a way to make this work. But if the different people coming for them don't have back to back days, then
right,
that pretty much ends it right there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, let's start out with what we know for those days.
Right. Okay. So for North Kildare Loop, we have, like I said, 17th, 18th, and 19th of March are the only ones that I've been able to match up everyone so far.
Well, the 17th is St. Patrick's Day. I'm see anything big.
17th works for me.
17th is good by me.
17th.
These are in Watford, is that correct?
Yes. Okay.
And the start time, yeah.
Oh, yeah, start time. I guess I want to say we have been doing 9, 9:30,
mm-hmm.
somewhere in that neighborhood. Any preference on the time?
Nine can work for me. We may have a fair amount of public testimony on this. We did on the first line. It was short. It was longer, but.
Mm-hmm. And I'm assuming we're flying for these two then.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, as the legislature plays out, if one of us needs to stay back, that's just the way it goes.
Right.
We've done that before too.
Okay. So the 17th, 9 a.m.
17th, 9 a.m.
Watford.
Watford. Okay.
Okay. Then Lonesome Creek.
Lonesome Creek, we have March 26th, 27th, 30th, 31st. We can go into April if need be. We have the 1st, 6th, or 7th.
26th looks good.
Yeah, good by me.
Good by me.
Okay. March 26th, same time.
9 a.m. Okay. Last one.
That will also be in Watford?
Correct.
And then the Little Missouri Missouri gas plant expansion.
This is the most challenging one. The best date we have right now is March 10th. We have one other possibility, or one other real good possibility of April 7th, if that's just no-go on the 10th.
March 10th is League Night Council.
Mm.
What was the other one you said, Victor?
April 7th.
Well, I would say there's conflicts both days. Whatever works better for Julie and Randy. Same thing if one of us stays back or if we don't get all the League Night Council, we can work with that.
I could work
April
with either
7th
of those.
Or which was?
March 10th. I think
I'm free on April 7th.
Yeah, I am too.
Okay. I'm not, but that's okay. Just the way it's going to be. It's a coal conference, so I don't want to hold back hearings because of that.
April 7th at 9?
They threw out last cards of April 6th or 15th if there's no other alternative. It sounded like those two dates would be challenging for the company to make it.
Those both work for me as well.
Me too.
Yeah, those are.
The 6th works?
The 6th is. I leave the night of the 6th and I could figure that out.
Because I hate to see you miss either of them, really. The conference or.
Yeah.
Okay. So the 6th would be directly after Easter, if that's a concern for anybody. So
maybe we could start at 1 o'clock concerns. Or something. Start at 1 o'clock and do it on the flip side. Because they're probably traveling is what I would guess is their problem with the 6th.
Yeah, that's the concern is the travel aspect.
So what about the 15th?
15th would be a little better for travel sake.
15th works for me.
It works for me, too.
Okay.
I was going to start my taxes that day.
Just wait till the 16th.
I have to do mine by the end of February.
So April 15th, 9 a.m. again?
Sure.
Okay. Did we skip the Lonesome Creek one?
No, we did that March 9th. March 26th at 9 a.m.
And the Little Missouri Gas Plant is Watford City as well.
Correct.
Okay. So we have the a March date for the Ashley thing we should throw out in case tomorrow doesn't work, and then we'll go to the pipeline things.
Okay. We scheduled something the 17th, right? And the 9th.
4th? 5th?
Do we need 45 days plus till the next paper comes out, or what's the notification time on it?
What did he say on there? Late March? Just March?
Early to mid-March, it says.
Well, let's just throw... He can figure all that out. Let's throw out a few on that first week. Do any of those later in the first week, 5th? Does that work for any you guys?
Yeah. Good by me.
The 5th does.
The 5th, we could throw out.
Okay, so I should be tracking these here. Okay.
We've got a commission meeting the next... What about the 12th?
Yes, as long as I can make sure I sign up for the Marine Corps Marathon that day. That's when the applications are. We come online.
You're running the marathon?
I haven't done it in 30 years, so I'm going to do it this year.
Are you training?
Absolutely.
I've seen Marines show up at marathons and just like, I didn't train.
I didn't train the first one.
Maybe I ran into you.
I showed up 30 years ago and did it in 4 hours and 12 minutes. What the hell? Nothing to
it's
it.
Impressive. Okay, the 12th.
Let me say this, though. You know, the legislature is going to come back on the 4th. And then, you know, they'll probably take some smaller things the first couple of days. But by the following week, they're going to be right into budgets. And, you know, we can only ask for so many favors. If they pick Wednesday, of course, we're not going to want it then.
also not the 10th. So I don't know if I want to book up too many days in any particular week. So could we get something into that? Well, sure. We already did the 17th.
The 19th or
something. How about the 19th? Just so we don't have so many days right in a row.
I think that's a good idea, Randy. I'm glad you're watching that. 19th? March 19th is another possible date. Are you tracking these, Julie, since Jerry gave you the number? Jerry gave you the note.
12th, 19th.
Actually, I'm writing them down, too. I'll go talk to Jerry.
Okay. So we've thrown out the 5th, right?
Yep, 5th and the 19th.
5th and the 19th. Okay, that's enough. Not the 12th. Okay, so two more. We've got the... Now, I do want to throw out, just for conversation, we've talked about this in the past, didn't want to do it, but I wonder with this many applications and the legislative session occurring right now, do we want to reconsider the use of ALJs for any of these pipeline hearings?
You know, I'm not against it by any means. The rule of thumb we did before was look at them. If they looked new and unusual, then we didn't want to do that. But if it was a 6 mile and it didn't look like there was anything out of the ordinary, whatever that you define ordinary, that was kind of the benchmark. Like that transmission line, we probably would never go ALJ because of the complexity.
Well, they're all transmission lines, but formal here, the Little Muddy Creek line, it's 14 miles, 10 miles are already constructed, 4 is new construction. It's a 14-mile line total. That one occurred to me that could be a candidate. Yep. Yeah. Randy, how do you feel about that?
I guess because it's new approach for us, it concerns me. Like, mm-hmm. New things sometimes do. But...
Should I repeat the change discussion I had last night?
I was remembering it when I started down this track. But, I'm just not so sure. We've had discussions legislatively as far as what penalties should be if we feel that they haven't acted appropriately. And so now to not even go to the hearing and ask the tough questions of, okay, well, what were you thinking when this went in? Why did it go in advance of getting approval? What's changed and those sorts of things? I'm just not so sure that the ALJ is going to be likely to dig as hard as we might.
What time frame do they want this hearing?
Julie, do they have dates?
I guess.
They had asked for a hearing in March, actually, for both of these, because they have a witness who will be on medical leave in April. So I had some opportunities, two dates available still since Victor took some of mine, the 18th and the 30th.
And that's for both of these?
It would be for both of them.
These are the ones that we looked at doing to get the same day, half and half, but one really needs to be in Williston and one really should be in Crosby.
Right.
And so it didn't really work with the Dakota Sound, which needs an hour to take down, an hour to set up, an hour to travel. So it just, there wasn't enough hours to allot for the hearing.
They can't both be in Williston.
They could be. It's just this line is really positioned up by Crosby. So then you're changing your approach on trying to get to the nearest good-sized town to talk with the people who are impacted the most. So,
how far is it from Williston to Crosby?
70 miles, 60 miles, something like that.
About an hour.
Well, I'm not, you said the 30th, Julie?
I have some April dates also. The 18th and the 30th were the two.
I don't really want to give up on using an ALJ for the Epping one, the 14 miles. There's nothing that restricts a commissioner from going to the hearing, even though you have an ALJ assigned. I did that before we had an ALJ. A commissioner could still go, but the ALJ puts the order together. So that's just a thought. Mm-hmm. So, but maybe we could do the one on the 30th for the 10-inch crude, because that probably is one we should be at, given the
size. That's new construction, is 36 miles. So it's, yeah, I wasn't thinking that that would be a real great candidate for an ALJ. Julie, the Little Muddy Creek pipeline, I've read, you know, a portion of the application. I haven't read the whole thing. But what I read led me to believe that that one's pretty straightforward. It's been used as a gathering line, and now they're reversing the flow of it and directing it and adding on and connecting it to the Enbridge pipeline.
Yes, I
don't recall the date of when that went in service, so.
I have it. It's a matter of finding it in my... I don't have the existing date on my notes here on this set of notes. Yeah. But
well, we don't want
game for trying it.
Okay, let's do that for that line and see. And if it turns out that that's a free day, and it doesn't have a conflict with our budget and legislative session, then I will probably go along as a portfolio holder, just because I, you know.
By the time we get to the second half of April, every day is going to be a key day for our budget.
Well, I'm guessing they'll do it in March if we aren't involved. They prefer to do it in March. So,
okay.
So go ahead and schedule that with the ALJ.
Now I wonder if we got to do something to do what we just did, other than just our verbal. There's got to be a motion at some point, if I recall, that says that we. I can't remember, right, Pat? So that's the follow of the next meeting. It could be a consent thing.
Can this thing, does it have to be prior to the notice going out?
I can't remember.
Can you recall, Pat? Is that part of the notice?
No, it isn't part of the notice. When we have a substantive ALJ, then the ALJ often some can prepare the notice for us.
Right.
In some cases. But I think we would just contact the
although, I mean,
well, I'm just concerned that we get the notice out, you know, before our next meeting. And
we're going to have a special meeting before our next meeting because we're going to have to take an action on that bean case.
Okay.
I don't know when, but I expect in the next 2-3 days we're going to have to squeeze something in. And, I mean, this would be a relatively routine thing.
Yeah.
That once we have the paperwork done, it will be fairly short. But
we'll figure all of that out and
I think what Pat said is correct, is once we make the decision to do a substantive ALJ, then they do all the stuff, the notice and everything.
Yeah, if I remember.
So we just have a motion, I move the ALJ, do this case and prepare, and then that's it for us. And they do all the other stuff. They hold the hearing. We can go to it, of course. And then when it's done, the ALJ will present us, the companies will give back to him both sides, and he or she, the ALJ, will then present us the order. And then we'll have a work session on it. So if we have more questions... It's not like we can't ask our questions. We just, timing is a little bit different. Mm-hmm.
So the motion would be the next thing out would be the thing on the
special. Right.
Yeah.
I move case number Umpty Frats, assigned to administrative law judge. Whatever.
It's administrative, though. So do we have administrative portions of special meetings that are public?
Okay, so Julie, will you... guys get together with Alana and Jack so he's in the loop on how to do this moving forward. And then we need to figure out, we passed an order today already setting, you know, the hearing date or for a notice. So how does this impact that notice? And then what do we need to do in terms of motion for a substantive ALJ for this hearing? And then you figure out the date. Okay? Anything else on that?
So the ALJ is already okay with the date?
The ALJ was, Judge Mann, was okay with the 18th or the 30th.
And just from my knowledge, these are still PSC hearings, though, right?
Absolutely.
So we would still do news releases just like normal.
Exactly.
Yep.
Announce them and
public's
everything.
Still invited and encouraged to comment.
Good.
I don't know if it'll make a difference with the ALJ or like Mr. Mann if he learns that we need a substantive ALJ. still do it, or will somebody else do it? I don't know that part. But
me neither. I'll let you guys figure that out.
Chester, still do it.
Okay. All right. Let me know this afternoon or after you check this out what if there's anything quirky.
18th or 30th.
I'm sorry?
March.
We haven't set the date yet. They'll do that, Daryl, with the ALJ. I think I would recommend the 18th if he can do that and be the substantive ALJ.
Because we need ours to be the 30th for the other one, right?
And so that would be the 30th for the second one, 14-823, Metallic Midstream 10-inch crude oil pipeline. And that would be in Williston, correct?
The 823, the Metallic, that would be the one that's in Crosby.
Oh, that's the one in Crosby. So yeah, that's right.
The other one is in Williston, the 769.
Yep. So Crosby on the 30th.
Wait a minute here.
Is that 9 a.m.?
Number 7. Was that March 30th or April 30th?
March.
March 30th.
Okay.
Still okay with that?
Yep, we can make that work.
Looking at 9 then, commissioners? You want to do it later?
Do we know how? Can we fly into Crosby?
Yes.
I thought it's in Williston.
No, this number 7 on the list is in Crosby. The other one is in Williston. The Epping.
Yeah, and we're talking about doing the one, number 6 in Williston.
That's the one.
Right, but that was the substantive ALJ. Number 6 is the substantive ALJ. We just finished that discussion.
Okay. I had them backwards, I'm sorry.
Okay, so that'll be the March 18th or whatever date they decide. And then Crosby on the 30th for number 7. Do we want to start at 9:30? So it'll probably take a little bit longer to get up there.
Whatever works for you is fine.
Let's
by me.
Do 9:30.
9:30, okay.
If you guys don't object. Okay, any other items for scheduling? Oh, yes, MDU Pi meeting. Thank you, Esther, for reminding me of that. Did they throw out dates, Daryl?
They only gave 2 dates, February 5th and February 6th, either morning or afternoon.
Well, I'm tied up all day February 5th and the 6th. I think we're all busy with other stuff. Maybe not in the afternoon.
What did we do? Did we just schedule something for the 6th? Oh, I'm looking at March. Whoops.
What do we have February 10th? For some reason, that day is wide open.
Shopping for Valentine's Day.
Could be, right? It's the week before NARUC, but I know that wasn't what the company offered up, but...
The afternoon of the 6th doesn't work for somebody?
I've got another conflict, but I think you could... I mean, same thing, we can roll with that if you two want. That's fine. Mm. I met with Nicole yesterday, so I think that's part of the reason for the Pi meeting is for her to meet us, and her and I visited a couple hours yesterday.
I'm all right on the afternoon of the 6th. I'm also looking like the 5th is free, but... Maybe I'm missing something. Or the 10th. I'm open on any of those days. So do we want to try? Does the 10th look good for you guys? Do you
think? I don't know that.
The 10th doesn't look as good for me. If that helps Brian out, I can move.
No, I think go with the 5th or the 6th. It works for you, too. And I'll just do what I can to be there. And if I can't, I can't. Because I think the purpose of this Pi meeting is to have Nicole visit with us. And I did that for a while.
Part of it. My understanding, too.
February 3rd.
3rd, yeah. What, Randy, 5th or 6th?
Either one, if we're talking about the afternoon of the 6th.
Are you available on the 5th? Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's do it then. Let's do it on the 5th at, should we say, 1 or 10?
10.
10. Okay. 10. Does that work?
1 would maybe be better. I'll see. I'll just do the 10, and then I'll call Daryl right when I get back.
Okay. Does one, do you have a conflict at 1, Randy?
No.
All right.
1 would be probably better. I think we were leaning towards PM, but...
Okay. I'm
well, just schedule it at 1 then, and we don't have to monkey around.
All right. All right. You.
Still going to call me?
No. Oh. February 5th at 1. Okay. Here. Or are we coming to you? Are you coming up here? Okay. All right. Well, we were doing so well until we got to admin.
Always right.
An hour and 15 minutes later, we wrap up. Does anybody else have anything for the good of the order? No? And we do not have an informal hearing this afternoon. Stay tuned for final decision on the Ashley hearing tomorrow. Otherwise, our meeting is adjourned.